Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Richard Lewis Show. I'm your host, Richard Lewis. Sam's pressing the buttons, and today we've got a guest I'm super excited about. We've been flirting with each other on Twitter, trying to make this happen for the longest period of time. But like myself, he's a very busy guy. It is, of course, the one, the only, Keemstar. So let's just start with some small talk. You've been very busy lately. Tell us what you've been up to.
I've been working on this this crazy hashtag YouTube AgeGate thing. You know, we've been just trying to figure this out because as YouTubers, since last fall, everybody has noticed a big change in views. And when people upload, they're losing subs. So it's been this, YouTube is turning into a war zone, right? Because it's not just make good content, hope that viewers enjoy it. It's also trying to figure out what YouTube's doing, trying to figure out how to get in the algorithms, trying to figure out the website to have a fair chance that everyone else has. And it's getting so frustrated. And we're working on this big story with this rumor that's coming out. This weekend, I'm attending the first Rust Esport event, which I'm really excited about. I've worked really hard on.
Rust Esport?
Yes, really? Yes. I've been working closely with UMG to kind of put this together because I'm a huge Rust fan. And well, I've been
tell
wanting...
me how does it work, brother? Because I've played Rust, I think, like when it came out in the beta. You know how it is. You run around naked and then some guy's already got an AK and you die. And then, you know, I stop playing. So how does the esports side of it work?
Well, a guy from the UK put together this game mode, and how it works is, you know, you put a cabinet down, a TC down, and each group has a time period to build and protect that TC. And then after that 30 minutes is up, there's another 30 minutes of just trying to destroy the other person's TC. Right. And that's how the winner comes out. So it was called Rust Conquest. And when I first saw this, I was just amazed because this is what I was looking for and seeking in Rust for an esport mode to be there. So I threw him some money to support him, talked to UMG. UMG got involved. They kind of took the thing over. The game mode for Rust esport as a whole isn't ready to go yet. But what they're doing at this land event is they're putting up $10,000 for Battle Royal. So
right, okay.
I'm really excited about that.
So what do you do exactly? Are you like a commentator? Are you a spokesperson?
I'm going to be a commentator at this event. And also I'm putting together a Rust esports team. So.
Oh, wow. You're going to get some celebrity friends in on that one, I guess.
Yes.
All right. I thought so. Well, look, I definitely want to touch on this YouTube AgeGate stuff in a little moment, but let's talk about you first of all. I want to start with the big question, Keem. It's a question everybody wants to know the real answer to, and I'm not afraid to ask it. Are you real? Are you a real person? Is the Keemstar I see on Twitter, on all of your videos, is that you? Because I honestly think there's a huge degree of persona going on with you. I think you've created an artificial personality for the purposes of your work. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. You know, I started off YouTube as a troll, as a person that made gaming trolling videos, who definitely had a persona. And then I moved into somehow being a news guy. And I think, you know, when you see Keemstar on Twitter or you see me in videos, you see kind of a mix of the real person and then the amped up personality. So it's a little bit of both.
Because I think a lot of your problems, dude, and we'll pick out some key ones because, you know, I don't want people to think I'm taking it easy on you and filleting you because you're a big YouTuber or whatever. But, you know, I think part of the problem is walking that line, right? I totally understand it. When you have a persona for the purposes of what you do for a living, it's very easy to forget where the lines are. And then sometimes you want to be taken seriously and people go, well, how can I take this guy seriously? Because they only know your persona. Do you regret, like, you know, killer Keemstar as an invention? Because obviously it's a big part of your success, but it's also the root of all evil when it comes to your problems.
I think being able to survive, you must adapt. And by adapt, you must change. So do I regret it? At times, yes. At other times, no. It's just constantly changing due to each situation. When all this Keemstar Exposed stuff was going on and they were grabbing trolling videos, which was a prank, which was not real, and they were putting it out as my political views and stuff, of course, at that point, I regretted it. But it was hard because so many years have passed by. I mean, I started YouTube in 2009. So there's so many more people that are here that didn't know what I did in the early days. So it's hard to, when someone's taking, you know, clips out of context and putting it out there is, you know, Keemstar said this and Keemstar hates his fans. It's hard to say, well, this is a joke. This is just a joke, you know? So at those times, I do regret it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the other problem you've got, you know, and that is that, and a lot of people are running into this problem, that now that you're a news guy, now that you're a journalist, effectively, right? I mean, that's the title. You report the news.
Right.
People aren't used to their journalists, the people that give them the news, you know, being funny, trying to make jokes, calling people out on Twitter, starting drama. You know, they expect you to be, you know, delivering, reading off a piece of paper with a shirt and tie on.
Right.
And that's not you. And I'm not saying necessarily it shouldn't be, but I mean, do you ever think, you know what, maybe I should stop all that now. You know, I'm getting older, I'm maturing. Maybe I should take Drama Alert and try and make it a bit more buttoned down, a bit more serious. Maybe I should try and be out of the news if I want to report the news.
I think a lot of people have tried to put me in a box, and I've always been a person that just, I'm going to create my own goddamn box. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm going to go to the path that I see fit or that I want to go. And I'm not going to let other people put me in this category or that category, or I'm not going to change because of how other people view me, because what I'm doing and the decisions that I make, some might say are bad and horrible, but I do have success online. I do have a successful show. And you know, for that, I feel like I have made some correct, you know, smart decisions, you know?
Yeah, but equally as well, I mean, I look, there's this perception about you, and I've seen this. They say this is the Keemstar cycle, okay? That you will poke somebody, get their attention. You will enter into a series of exchanges, antagonistic. You will then focus your reporting efforts onto them. And then when they call you out and say you're a piece of shit or whatever it is they want to say, you then go, well, why do people say this about me? You know, like, and people have accused you of playing the victim card. Is there an element of truth in that cycle? I mean, do you do any of this consciously, I guess is what I'm asking? Is this, like, you know, when you start drama exactly where it's going to end, like, you know what the cycle is going to be?
Well, I will play the victim if I am the victim. You know, if something's being said about me that isn't true, or someone is, just straight up, you know, putting out lies or putting out a false story, or, you know, not defining who I actually am, or taking different clips out of context, I'm the victim, you know? Yeah. I have no other card to play than the card that is rightfully should be placed on me. So a lot of times where I'm saying, you know, they're lying about me, this is wrong, you know, you're attacking me, it's because it's true. I don't go out and put false information on my show, knowingly false information on my show against someone. The stuff that I report is accurate. And if I do get something wrong, I've been the first to come out and say, I got this wrong. We're wrong. Yeah. You know, I've done that throughout my career. And I don't think that the people that are criticizing me and have made these Keemstar Exposed videos or whatnot, I don't think we've seen any videos from them saying, hey, I'm sorry, I got the facts wrong. I'm sorry, I took this out of context. So I think part of the reason why I've survived a lot of these attacks is simply because I've been right, you know? Yeah.
I mean, I'd agree to a certain extent. I think there's been a few incidents that really stand out for me. There's like two or three, and I'll bring them up. And if it looks like this is like just a show where we're going to dogpile you. Don't worry, there's good questions coming, I promise. Okay. But let's look at the facts and these incidents, and you can give me your take on them. So the first thing I want to bring up is you had a little spat online with Total Biscuit, and you did say, and you know, I know John, I've done shows with John, and obviously we all know that he's ill at the moment, and you're doing a great job kicking cancer's ass, and long may that continue. But you did say on video that you put out on your Twitter after he blocked you, that you know, you made a joke saying, I've been a big fan of yours for a while, and I've never said anything bad about you. Now you're kind of making me wish, make me look forward to reporting on your death, was the line that you said. That's a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I was a fan of him, you know? I know that this person it doesn't make it crazier. I know this individual has a very dark sense of humor. I know that, you know, this individual jokes about, you know, similar stuff. So, I mean, here's an example. Total Biscuit said on Reddit, he goes, I went to the doctor and the doctor said I had stage 4 or whatever, but at least it's not, at least I'm not Keemstar, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just a simple joke about the illness or whatnot. What I said was edgy, was wrong. But again, it's not a serious statement. Did the internet treat it like it was a joke, or did they treat it like it was a serious statement? They treated it like it was a serious statement. So
have you spoke to him since? I mean, have you made any attempt to kind of be like, look, yeah, it was an edgy joke. I mean, obviously, you know, stay strong. I definitely don't want to report. You know, have you tried that?
Well, I was in the DM conversation, this is over a year ago, with H3H3, and he was saying how that offended him and how it offended some of his friends because of relatives and people that have dealt through cancer. Sure. So I made a long, I think it was like close to 5 or 6 minute public apology on Twitter, better explaining myself in the situation, but of course nobody saw that, you know.
Yeah, right. It doesn't blow up as much.
Yeah.
So I mean, would you say that's an incident you regret then? Like, if you could go back in time and not say that, not make that edgy joke, would you go back and not do it?
Probably not. Probably not. You know, what I did is I reacted right away and said something crazy, right? If I had more time to think, if I would have waited a little bit and responded, I still might have made a joke, but not that joke.
Yeah, maybe not that one. Okay, that's good.
That was a little too far. Yeah, but again, a joke.
Sure,
I'm not sitting around saying, damn, 2017, when is this going to happen? I can't wait to report this, you know?
Yeah. So there was another incident that obviously is kind of, you know, people have talked about quite a lot. And that is that, you know, you've been accused in the past of, you're putting people's information out there. You know, you've been on a stream and you've said that this is this person, this is where, you know, they live, this is like, you know, their girlfriend or, you know, whatever it might be. And there's a couple of incidents of this. And you know, people have then taken it upon themselves to act on your behalf, if you will, and harass that person or swat that person or whatever it might be. Now, I know that you don't advocate for that. You're a public person, you're a public person. You know that it's terrible to kind of have your privacy violated and stuff. With that in mind, I mean, do you regret putting information like that, you know, out there in the public domain, knowing there's people out there who might misguidedly do this sort of stuff?
I don't regret what happened on that. You know, I was exposed for swatting and doxing someone. Like, I don't regret that situation at all. All right.
Explain to me why.
That was taken completely out of context. Mm. Basically, there was a guy that, you know, his name was Smile for YouTube. He donated like $2,400 to me on my stream, trying to get my attention. I was very grateful, you know, promoted his Twitter or whatnot. And then he charged it back. So yeah, I was so through the process, I was like fighting to get the win the charge back. And I did win the charge back. Once I won the charge back and went through, I had to fight PayPal, won in PayPal. I had to fight his credit card company, won in that battle as well. I'm sorry, I'm kind of a little greedy. You know, you send me that money, I'm going to get it. Anyhow, once he lost from the credit card company, it was just nonstop harassment from this person. This person was coming to my stream every single day, donating at least 20 to 40 times every single night, $5 over again, $5, $5, $5, $5, $5. The bells are going off over and over again. And then he, you know, would, how do you say it? A chargeback every single one of these. So he was harassing the stream. Then he would get my IP, DDoS my stream down. Then he started going after my moderators on the stream and doing the same thing. This person was harassing me for months. So it became to a point where if I was going to stream, that this person would be constantly harassing us and harassing, you know, not just me, but my fans. So in that stream, we are all actively trying to find this motherfucker, right? We are trying to find out who he is, what his address is, you know, who his relatives are. We're trying to get every bit of information on this dude that we can get so we can somehow get this guy to stop. All right. In the process of all of this, I was swatted multiple times. People on my moderators on my stream were swatted, all from this individual. Now, during this Keemstar Exposed thing that was going on all over the internet, this dude takes this clip, all right, makes me out to be the person that's harassing, makes me out to be the person that's swatting and doxing and all this stuff. And we're just trying to find this individual. So I just hope that, you know, whoever is listening right now could try to understand, you know, my point of view. Here I am, the victim of this, trying to find the person that's doing this. And now I'm being labeled. This was trending on YouTube. This video was trending on YouTube, like a million views in 24 hours. And people to this day are still convinced that I'm out swatting and doxing people. So when this was on the front page of Reddit, I reach out to the Reddit moderators. I'm like, this is completely false. Can you please take this down? I will make a response video. I want my video to be seen as a response to this, because Reddit has a weird thing of getting one side of the story and then the other side of the story or the response is just completely shut down. And I'm not talking about like the viewers of Reddit or the users of Reddit. I'm talking about the moderation team. The moderation team on our videos has a political agenda. I don't know if political is the right term, but they have their own agenda and they will only let one side of stories be out there and not the other. And I've experienced it firsthand.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, look, I'll be very clear about that. I saw that video that went out there talking about how you swatted people, how you doxed people. You know, it was nonsense. I mean, it was an absolute lie. Obviously, you didn't swat anybody. And it is incredibly frustrating that, you know, you were smeared effectively and Reddit allowed this person to do that. There was nothing, you know, there was no substance to their claims. And yeah, I shared your pain on that one. I even publicly came out and said that, you know, it seems that the witch hunting rule doesn't apply if Reddit thinks you're a witch.
I went out. That's the argument I was using with them. I was like, this is a witch hunt. And the moderators on our videos literally said to me, and I still have the messages somewhere, that this is not a witch hunt. It's not a witch hunt. And we don't see any witch hunt going on. I'm like, I don't know any other definition for witch hunt.
Yeah. What happened off the back of that, actually, just while we're here? I mean, you know, I don't want you to necessarily lay it on too thick, but I mean, I've got comments in front of me from Reddit, you know, people saying Keemstar should be in jail. You know, Keemstar's a piece of shit. What he did is a criminal offense called coercion by putting out, I mean, it definitely wasn't, by the way. It wasn't illegal at all. You know, I hope he gets killed. This guy is cancer. YouTube should ban him. You know, it was just insane. People were calling for you to go to prison over what you
did. I didn't go to prison. No, you want to know why? Because it's bullshit. Yeah, and all of you that fell into that and started sharing it and started talking about it, what you did is you gave a YouTuber known as Vex, who is known for putting out false information, you gave him $3,000 in ad revenue. So that's what happened. You gave some random guy that fucking used you as pawns and puppets $3,000 in ad revenue, probably more if I look it up right now. But, you know, that's what's very frustrating when me doing my show is I'm trying my best to be accurate with everything I do. If I get something wrong, I acknowledge it. I don't hide it under the rug. I publicly say, hey, I got this wrong. This is what's really happening. And I don't get the same respect when I'm being judged by, you know, other people out in the community. So the
other one, and I'm sure you know that this is coming, was, of course, the incident with the 62-year-old gentleman. I feel this was the one that if you had to say there was one moment where people are going to really hold you over the fire to, it was this, because this was a, you know, 62-year-old streamer. I mean, that's quite a rarity in itself. You know, an old man who's technologically savvy and uses the internet to connect with people. You know, it's quite, you know, quite sad in one way, because, you know, we do treat elderly people appallingly. You know, we don't spend time with our grandparents or whatever. And maybe we should. And here he was connecting with people, you know, through his shared common interest. And then, of course, you did a report that said he had a previous conviction for sex offenses pertaining to minors. But, of course, it was inaccurate. It was false. And I know that you did correct it and everything else. But just talk me through what happened there, because I'd be mortified. You know, as a journalist, if I had made that claim about somebody and got it wrong, I don't know if I'd be able to continue doing what I do. I have to almost like remove myself from the business, you know, because it's such a great charge.
That was the worst day in my internet career. The absolute worst day. I felt so goddamn bad, and immediately, let me explain what happened. What happened is, you know, I do have a news team. I do have people that work for me over in Drum Alert. And we were testing out a new system for the team to get me the news, because news would have to be verified by certain people on the team, and then it would go into this Google Docs. Mm-hmm. What I didn't know is that one of the lower people in the team had access to the Google Docs. And it was a new system. I think it was like maybe 3 or 4 days that we were trying this. And he was putting stories in there those couple days, and, you know, they were all correct. There wasn't a problem. The two people that had access, that I thought had access to the Google Docs, they didn't know that someone else was in there, because they assumed that the other person was putting the information in there. So this thing kind of went on track. So we had a person giving a tip into the Google Docs without it being vetted at all. And that's how the mix-up happened. So I found out about it, and when I found out about it, I was, first of all, the video went up. It was up for 2 hours. I immediately took the video down. I made a Twitter video saying, we got this wrong. You know, whatever this guy wants for compensation, we're going to pay him. You know, I want to get the story straight. And what happened was I ended up reaching out to him. I ended up talking to him, apologizing. He goes, I'm not going to sue you. I don't want money. I offered to pay to a RuneScape event, which they then agreed to, but then later declined. Mm-hmm. But me and him were on good terms, and everything was fine. But the community itself, they took it a completely different way. They took it as, you know, that I did this on purpose. That's what I keep to this day getting criticized for doing this on purpose, attacking this old man, when it was a mistake. And it was a mistake that I exposed myself for. A lot of people have given scarce credit for exposing me and exposing Keemstar for getting it wrong, when that wasn't the case either. But again, yeah, we fucked something up. We got something seriously wrong. And I think that wound in Drum Alert will probably never heal, because it was so big.
I mean, I don't want to get into hypotheticals here. I mean, obviously, you know, that could have had like some very serious and grave ramifications. You know, I mean, you hear about people when they're accused of things that are so morally objectionable to the fiber of their being. Sometimes people will take their own lives rather than face the consequences. You know, I mean, that's why when you tackle these kinds of story,
right,
you know, there can be very real consequences for false reports. Like I say, it's my worst nightmare. Like, and here's the thing, like, while it's definitely terrible For the old guy, and it's very easy to see why, and I'm glad it was resolved very quickly and everybody came to his aid and rallied round, and the story has a happy ending for him. That, you know, that lie didn't stick. I got to be honest, I felt sorry for you in a way. Like, I know that's going to sound kind of weird, like not a lot of people be on the same page, but it's really awful. Like I say, it's my worst nightmare. That is my worst nightmare. I watched you go through my worst nightmare live while it happened. So there was a degree of sympathy for you. Just, you know, as kind of to put the full stop on there, what measures have you put in place now to make sure something like that never happens again?
I personally vet everything. No story goes on the air without me, myself, researching it and looking into it. I'm no longer going to, you know, put my show or my career, if you want to call it that, in jeopardy in someone else's hands or in jeopardy. But again, I can't stress this enough. I think the community as a whole has this opinion where, you know, I put this false story out and I wasn't going to try to tell anyone, but I just got busted and, you know, no. That this was going on, this guy was being harassed for weeks. It was 2 hours. It was 2 hours, well, and I exposed myself.
I remember that day quite vividly. I lost a bunch of people, said they would never follow me again because I'd said publicly, I'm actually sympathetic to the position of reporters because, you know, let's say there is a sex offender out there, you know, and you've reported about people that certainly have had indiscretions in the past where children are concerned. I think that's actually responsible reporting. Those people should be exposed. I think I have no issue with that whatsoever. But when you get that wrong, obviously that's appalling.
That was another thing that was horrible about this situation is because, you know, at this stage in Drama Alert, it was like one Minecraft YouTuber after another Minecraft YouTuber doing and saying inappropriate stuff with fans. And then we have this story that's wrong, that we completely fucked up, that we're fully responsible for. We have lost all credibility. We can't fight that fight anymore. We can't go after, you know, the Minecrafter that's dating his 13-year-old, you know, fangirl. We can't really do that story anymore because we've lost credibility. So Drama Alert lost a lot that day. You know, it's our fault, obviously, but we lost a lot, and I don't think that, like I said before, that scar will ever really heal.
I mean, you made it up with the guy. Was there any talk of any legal repercussions? I mean, was he did he talk about maybe getting a lawyer involved or anything like that?
I don't think it ever. No, he didn't want to sue, but I don't think it ever would have got to that, because if he would have said, "Hey, you know, for this 2 hours of harassment that I you know went through, you know, I want $20,000 in damages," we wouldn't have went to court. I would have paid him. You know, I felt like, I don't know if you've seen the apology video I made.
No, I did.
But yeah, I was close to tears. Yeah. I was close to tears because I hurt this guy, man. And this guy didn't do anything wrong. But yeah.
It's an eye opener about the responsibility of reporting, right? And this segues nicely into what I want to talk about here, because, you know, I do consider you to be a news channel. I consider you, as I said at the start of the show, to be a journalist. I think that's the right label. But obviously, there's a new breed of journalist that's out there right now. You can have, you know, journalist bloggers. You can have journalist YouTubers. And they don't necessarily have training as journalists. So I was going to ask you about that. You know, what kind of training, if any, you've had. you're laughing, right? So no, but I mean, and what you do to make sure you understand the ethical responsibilities, the correct methods of reporting, and you actually can kind of wear the title of journalist without it being misplaced.
I think there's a lot of people that would never, ever give me the title of journalist. You know, I think there's a lot of people that would, you know, that actively say, you don't do news, you're not a journalist. And I don't agree with them. But at the same time, I'm an amateur, you know, in all of this. You know, I don't have any training. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I just, this thing, Drama Alert, was kind of a joke. It was a meme. You know, I would see two Call of Duty commentators arguing on Twitter, and I would report it like I'm a reporter or something, you know, and I create this hashtag drama alert thing. And then I, you know, made a few videos and people liked it. And this thing kind of took off, and I became a journalist as a joke. You know, there's always been a constant, you know, focus on entertainment along with the actual news itself. So, no, I have no training, and maybe I should get some.
Yeah. Well, you know, it sounds silly, but it might be a bad idea. I mean, it sounds to me that off the back of what happened with the old guy, Tony, and again, you know, just in case it looks like I was flipping earlier, obviously in this instance he's the victim, you know. I sympathize with what happened to you. I definitely sympathize with what happened to him, but you know, it sounds to me editorially you've made a decision to stay away from these stories, like, is somebody a sex offender, has somebody been having inappropriate contact with, you know, children. Sounds like you're not doing those anymore.
Well, we'll do them, but we don't want to break them. We don't want to break them. I'm happy to say, you know, Lewis has reported this, or, you know, Scarce is saying this, or someone else is saying this. I don't want to break it. You know, I think about it often. You know, this is not one thing that, you know, happened that I forgot about. This is something that I think about often, and I'm afraid to make that mistake again.
Right. I totally understand it. So look, there's an upshot after all of this, right? After these many mistakes of Keemstar, you know, and you're not infallible, you are human, you are going to make mistakes. And then suddenly there was this big move on YouTube. I saw them swirling like vultures, right? They were coming for you, and there was a bunch of videos, and I can't understand. And I cannot respect a YouTuber. That's good service, by the way. I can't respect a YouTuber that would go after another YouTuber and try and get them kicked off YouTube. I think if you do that, you're a fucking piece of shit, because ultimately you're going to want those protections should somebody try and get you kicked off, you know, off a platform. And you wouldn't want it, you know, they wouldn't want it if someone tried to take away their livelihood. But it seemed that every day I woke up, it was video after video after video as to why Keemstar was evil, Keemstar was like irredeemable, and Keemstar had no place on YouTube. You apparently were the worst thing about YouTube. You, well, because they would say drama channels, they mean you, right? You were the sole worst thing about YouTube. And I would listen to these videos, and God help me, it shaved years off my life. That's why I got gray in my beard, because they were all fucking terrible. You know, I'm listening to Leafy go, and nah, man, and then Keemstar, what did he do? The 30-year-old man, he then stabbed me in the back, man. Like, what's that got to do? No one gives a fuck. Why should he be kicked off YouTube? Because he doesn't talk to anyone, you know, and it was just nonsense, misrepresentations, fallacies, lies, personal anecdotes that aren't relevant. Like, I did not understand what the fuck was going on, but it seemed to me they legitimately wanted to get rid of you. Like, it was a concerted effort, you know.
Yeah, they were actively trying to get rid of me, but they were trying to get rid of me so I couldn't fight back. What happened is there were, you know, all these clips, like I said, of back in the days of me trolling and me saying some crazy stuff, again, which was not real, just a troll, you know, that my fans would laugh about. My fans were in on the joke. Everyone was in on the joke. But if you take that out of context and play it in 2017, oh my God, this is an evil person, right? We're dealing with an absolute evil person. So these videos were popping up, and they were popping up from channels with, like, I don't know, like 30,000 subs, and they were getting on the front page of Reddit, and they were getting, you know, millions of views. And I think people saw an opportunity with this 2016, the growth of the commentary community, to make Keemstar exposed videos, because every single one of them is getting, like, you know, over a million views. They're getting, you know, some of them have 9 million, some of them have 4 million, some of them have 6 million. I tried to think of a YouTuber that was attacked more than me, and I can't really think of anyone. You know, Sam Pepper comes close, but if you look at the videos that were made out of him all together, they would total, you know, maybe 10 mil. The Fine Bros, when they were going through that stuff, You know, you look at that stuff, maybe 15 mil. If you go and Google search Keemstar exposed videos, you are going to find millions and millions and millions of views. So I was faced with one of the biggest attacks ever, because not only was the Keemstar exposed stuff, you know, me saying crazy stuff, but they're all kind of entertaining. You know, I'm saying stuff as a troll back in the day, and it's outlandish and it's crazy, but it's kind of entertaining. You know, if you watch these videos and you see my outburst and you see me saying crazy stuff to the viewer, it's entertaining. So I think everybody just jumped on that to get as many views as possible. And when I made my response video, and I kind of tore these videos apart, nobody even gave me a chance. They weren't giving me a chance to defend myself. They weren't giving a chance to actually listen to what I had to say. So it was very frustrating. I think I left for about a week, and then I just said, screw it. I got to face the music. And the only way I'm going to survive any of this is to do what I've always done, be entertaining. To the grace of God, somehow I've survived it.
I mean, was there a real risk? Like, did you ever have any talks with YouTube? Like, did YouTube get in touch with you? Because I mean, look, you've had bans before from streaming platforms and publishers and even Google AdSense at one point, I think.
Yeah.
You know, was there a risk? Did YouTube ever pick up the phone or send you an email saying you have got to fucking tone this shit down?
No. No one. Yeah, there was really nothing. It was all just hysteria, mob mentality stuff, you know? To this day, I don't, because I can think back like it was yesterday, and I can think of, I can see there being absolutely no future. Like, I'm done. And I'm still just kind of shocked. I think one thing that helped me out is Bait It Podcast. You know, The one problem I had on Drumler is that I run a news show. I don't really have a commentary channel, so I don't have a, I didn't really have a platform to defend myself. But with my Bait It Podcast, I did. And I think through the process of me debating with Colossal is Crazy and having this debates about Keemstar exposed videos, I think the community was just starting to see that the people that were calling me out weren't on the up and up. And then there were a lot of stories that came out exposing Leafy for being fake and backstabbing. And, you know, when people started researching, I think Grade A Under A made claims that I was a pedo, you know?
Yeah, that was fucking, that was pathetic. I mean, I was going to bring that up specifically. That is one of the most bizarre mental leaps I've ever seen in a YouTube video. That because you have reported on people who have engaged in inappropriate conduct with underage people, with minors, you must secretly be one yourself.
And then there was this girl way back in the day, and it was like in I think it was in 2010 or something. She got naked with a sign that said DJ Keemstar, right?
Yeah.
So he's making this point that Keemstar had a 15-year-old girl, you know, naked on a stream. She wasn't on my stream. She was on her own stream.
Yeah.
And I don't control her. And how, what's her age? Where, I want to see her ID. Like, how do we know that this individual is 15? Like, where's the...
She was never identified because she deliberately kept her head out of the shot, right?
Right, right. So who is this girl? Who is the girl? Like, it doesn't... None of it...
I never watched, right? I used to like Grade A Under A because obviously, you know, he's got that kind of urban sense of humor. You know, I lived in the city in Britain, and I always used to like his stuff, man. I thought it was righteous. But seriously, I very rarely kind of... You have to do a lot for me to think, I just can't watch you ever again. The video he did on you was just like, I can't do this anymore. I literally have no desire to watch. It was just such a fucking poorly executed hatchet job. And, you know, I know how these things work mechanically. I'm sure they were all in a Skype group or a Discord or something, all talking and saying, right, well, I'm going to hit him with this video today. You hit him with this video tomorrow. I'll do the follow-up video on Wednesday. Yeah.
It was a planned attack. And, you know, anyone, the viewer, can figure out that it was a planned attack, because what they did is they all promoted Scarce, my competitor. They said go sub to him. So it was obviously a planned attack. But
Scarce, bizarrely, even though I don't think he said anything directly about you, because Scarce isn't John's not a confrontational guy, right? Deliberately so. Yet he got so many fucking subs at the height of the Kill Keemstar, Burn the Witch drama. Scarce's channel blew up, right?
Yeah, it did. I was beating him with subs and views and everything. And then when they started promoting him, he passed me. But right now my channel is growing faster than his, so about twice as fast. So, you know, we'll see.
The rivalry there between you and Scarce? Do you treat it like a contest?
Oh yeah, it's a contest. It's definitely a contest.
Tell me why.
You know, because
same thing.
What's that?
You don't do the same type of content. It's different.
We don't. And I don't like being compared to him. I honestly don't. But because the community has compared me to him, you know, you just hear it so much that you just feel like you're in some type of race, you know? And, you know, when they promoted him and said everyone go sub to Scarce and whatnot to beat me, to try to, you know, end my channel and stuff, it instantly made it a competition. So
here's the thing. I can't take a news channel seriously if while they're reading the news, it's gameplay footage.
Right.
Right? Like, I want a guy behind a desk with a microphone, you know? I mean, maybe not the popcorn, but you know what I mean, right? Like, I want it to at least look like they're trying to be a news channel. And right. I don't give a fuck if you're playing Overwatch. Like, what's that got to do with the news? It's like they are literally saying, you have a shit attention span, so here's some pictures to look at while I talk. What the fuck is that, dude? I can't take that seriously at all. So look, back to the grade A under A thing and the Leafy thing. They were all kind of making protestations on these videos that they'd had good relationships with you. This is one thing I've heard so many times from YouTubers. I used to be friends with Keemstar. You know, Keemstar helped me out so much in the beginning, but now I realize he's a piece of shit. So what's up with that? I mean, why do these people wait until they're successful to come to this realization you're such a bad person?
I know, isn't it strange? Like I said before, I think the reason the simplest reason why they were my good friends. You know, I talked to Leafy and Grade every day online for hours at a time. We're talking about YouTube stuff. But the reason why they went after me is because they seen all these Keemstar exposed videos before them. And they thought, well, this might hurt my reputation because I'm friends with him. Why don't we just kill him? You know, why don't we just make our own videos? We're going to get millions of views and we can separate ourselves from Keemstar and all these old trolling clips and, you know, make an alliance with Scarce by promoting him. Mm-hmm. Didn't really work out for them in the end, but it worked out for initially. So, I mean, I don't know. If you go back and recently, Grade A under A, he uploaded this video where he was talking about the Wall Street Journal and PewDiePie. He was saying, you know, how the Wall Street Journal didn't give PewDiePie a chance to defend himself and the Wall Street Journal didn't say anything nice about PewDiePie. They were only saying negative stuff about him to paint him out to be the worst person ever. It was the most hypocritical shit I've ever seen because he did the same exact thing to me. Cool. So I reached out to him and I said, hey, man, because we talk now, me, Grade, and Leafy, we all talk now. We're not friends, but we talk, we chat. You know, I enjoy those conversations like I did before all this shit went down. I called him up and I said, hey, man, I'm going to call you a hypocrite publicly unless you take these fucking Keemstar exposed videos down. And he was hard-headed about it, and I don't know why. Because, I mean, some of the claims in there are just absolutely ridiculous. This dude said that I ruined Toby Turner's life. All right. Keemstar ruined Toby Turner's life. I didn't put out any opinion. I just put out the facts of the story on Drum Alert. Philip DeFranco put way more of an opinion out there. Philip DeFranco said, hey, man, I was at a wedding and I saw this guy waste it and he was hitting on, you know, staff members of mine. And he got kicked out of the wedding. Right. You know, if anybody did damage to Toby Turner, I think it would be more Philip DeFranco than anyone. But I don't know. I think that, you know, in the same way that me getting that story wrong about the old man, and that haunting my channel and my brand forever, I think these Keemstar exposed videos from Leafy and Grade will haunt them forever.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's fair as well. It looked like some Game of Thrones type shit, like a bunch of fucking people with a common interest and in their minds a perceived common enemy just went all out. You know, they just threw everything they had and it just didn't work. YouTube didn't kick you off the channel. I mean, they were literally talking about, you know, maybe we leave YouTube if Keemstar isn't removed, right? Like, it was fucking insane what was happening at the time. And again, you know, you've definitely done things in the past that I couldn't condone or agree with, but you certainly have a right to exist. There's a place for your content. And if anybody should be sympathetic to that, it should be other YouTubers. So it blew my mind. Now, on that point, I'm good friends with some YouTubers. I don't really understand what it is to be a YouTuber. You know, I'm on television now. I'm on TV. I'm on TBS. And it's a very weird world. I can't deal with even minor celebrity. It's not me, right? But I talk a lot to like guys like Sky Williams and people like this, and they tell me that it's fucking like really tough. You don't know who your friends are. It's really incestuous. Everyone's like gonna backstab you. Like everyone's super focused on views and numbers. And I get that impression because even just talking to you, you know, you go, and I think my subs are increasing right now, and I've got this and I've got that. What's it like? I mean, what is the YouTube world like? What's it like to be a YouTuber?
It's a war zone. It's an absolute war zone. Every day, you're fighting to stay relevant. And, you know, that's not just because I'm Keemstar. That's every YouTuber. Every YouTuber is fighting to be relevant, to get views, to get subs, to be popular. And some try to take shortcuts by cutting down others. And I think that's why this Keemstar exposed thing came out. And some people might use that same criticism of me. You know, I'm running stories on, you know, Shay Carl and the DMs, you know, with some cam girl. You know, they could say, well, Keemstar's just trying to destroy careers and not actually see what I do as news. But I think that's what it is. It's Game of Thrones. And what makes it even worse is the problems that we're seeing with YouTube now. You know, for some reason, when there's this glitch that's been going on since last fall, when people upload, they're losing subs. So it's not just, you know, focus on your content being good, you know, have good relationships with other YouTubers. Now it's try to figure out the algorithms, try to figure out, you know, the best thumbnail or whatever, what perfect combination is going to get your video seen and getting to recommend it. Because prior to the fall of 2016, if you uploaded a decent video with a decent amount of likes and people were talking in the comments about it, your video got recommended to other users. And that's just not really like happening anymore at the same rate. And people don't know why. So the to be a YouTuber and to be in the YouTube world, the best way I could put it is it's just a constant fight. It doesn't end.
Do you consciously form alliances then? I mean, you know, you seem a savvy guy. So, you know, are you out there? Like, for example, again, people have said this with your reporting about Bashaverse, you know, like he went from hating you and saying you were the Antichrist and you'd ruined his career and ruined his channel. He had an absolute fucking meltdown. I mean, me and Sam, we watched that live. I think Sam even called me up like, you've got to see this. And it was like some awful car crash television when he just, you know, was talking about killing himself and all this other crazy shit. But then he came on the show and I think he's done more than one show since. And it's like,
yeah,
how it seems so crazy to me. Like, one minute people are friends, the next they're enemies. It must be exhausting to keep up, you know?
Well, that situation was absolutely so crazy. You know, because what you have is you have a rumor by another YouTuber saying that he raped a 13-year-old girl. And then, you know, because of that rumor, he comes out, makes a public story, Basher himself. He makes a public story and says, okay, the girl was 15. I was 19. I got arrested for it. But then because of now all this talk, people are looking into it and they're finding out, okay, he's telling like fans of his, younger fans of his, that they're hot, like on Snapchat and whatnot, when he's, I think, 27 at the time. And these girls were like 15, 16. And his current girlfriend, he lied about her age. So it didn't seem like she was so young when they started dating. So it was this big, there was just all this news and stuff that came out. But what we got to in the middle of that, when, you know, the news wasn't looking good for Basher, what we got to in the middle of it is that somebody lied. You know, there was, he never raped a 13-year-old girl. And that claim that was made from that other YouTuber was just false. Yeah. So then it was, you know, Basher getting, you know, kind of revenge on the people that spread that false rumor. And because my platform was there to report the rumor, I had to give him a platform to defend himself, you know? So that's how that all worked out. But yeah, that story was absolutely crazy because part of it, Basher's guilty, part of it, Basher's innocent. And that guy still hasn't recovered from that.
Yeah.
A lot of people blame me for ruining his career, but it's, again, you know, I'm running the news. It was someone else's claim.
I think the key thing to always remember, if people want to throw that claim at you, is just that if you didn't report it, somebody else would.
Yeah.
You know? So maybe it wouldn't be scarce, because as I said, he's not a confrontational guy. You know, I've said this, I'll say it again. You know, John, for example, has said on show, oh, and FaZe have assured me that they're not involved at all in this because I called them on the phone. You know, it's like he's some little naive guy who just doesn't think people might lie, you know, bless him.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like a little kid reporting the news. And that's great for certain stories, but for anything hard-hitting, investigative, for things, drama, for people doing things wrong where they're going to try and cover it up, that can't ever be his wheelhouse until he grows a set of nuts, you know? That's just the reality. But like I say, so just one more question on the YouTube thing, and then we'll get into this algorithm nightmare that YouTube's become. And that's, like you say, I just want to focus on this idea of alliances and friendships. And do you have many friends in the YouTube community? I mean, real friends.
I have a few, but it's hard to, you know, friends in real life is not the same as friends on the internet. No. You know, there were people that I talked to, like I said before, every day for hours at a time, and I considered them friends, but they weren't really my friends. You know what I mean? So I hate using that term friends on the internet because it's hard to identify that what real friendship is outside of the internet. But as far as alliances go, I think, you know, it's pretty typical to just, you know, like certain people and talk to certain people. And from talking to that person, you know, you build somewhat of a reputation. You know, if you know that person a little bit more, when you're running a story on them, you might give them the benefit of the doubt, where you might not give someone else. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think, that stuff just comes natural. But at the same time, there are times where I'm friends with someone and I got to report a story that makes them look bad. Like, for example, I consider myself friends with T Martin. Mm-hmm. I consider myself friends with Syndicate. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you guys ran a kiddie casino and you weren't honest about it. And I got to run this story. When this story first broke, for an example, I DM'd T Martin, I DM'd Syndicate, and I was like, you guys need to respond to this.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, they're obviously saying to me the DMs, oh, this was public, people knew about this, and blah, blah. And I'm like, no, bro, like, as your friend, this is bad, you need to respond to this. And that's when T Martin made his first...
responsible for the fucking video with the dog, right?
I was the dog the second one? I'm responsible for the very first one where he was in the house.
He put so many out and then deleted them. It was hard to keep up.
But, you know, so... Yeah, it's hard to have alliances when you run Tremler because at some point you're going to have to say something negative about someone, you know? And it's not personal. And it's hard for those people to understand that it's not personal. So many times, you know, I get hit up by someone that I talk to often and they're like, don't report this, don't report this. And I'm like, I can't. Like, I got to, you know? I'm not going to murder you. But like, this is news, you know.
How does it work then? How do you pick what makes drama lit?
I try to find stuff that I find interesting and that I know I can convince my audience to be interested in. You know what I mean? There's really important stories all the time that you know, go unreported on Dramler. But the reason why they go unreported is because I don't believe that I can convince an audience to be interested in it. You know, so there's always that level of entertainment that I need to make sure is involved in the stories and the content that I'm putting out there. I find it pretty easy to take a boring story and even find some way to make that entertaining. But like some stories with people getting false flags, you know, people getting copyright strikes, people getting hacked, those are important stories. But sometimes I don't know how I can convince an audience to be interested in it, you know?
You've had close ties with like a lot of these kind of, not close ties, I should say, but rather like you've had connections with these hacking groups, you know, like Lizard Squad and things like that. I myself have done this when I've been reporting. You know, I've had hackers say, hey, I'll tell you, you know, who I hacked, how I did it. This is what we got. I'm going to send you some incredible screenshots or chat logs. You know, for example, I was anonymously sent the Phantom Lord story. And it was his Skype had been compromised, and we had 6 months of Skype conversations that proved he'd rigged outcomes on a gambling site he owned and had hidden his ownership of. Are you ever worried about getting too close to people like that? Because again, I know I am. Like, if somebody you know who's like a hacker and like super tech savvy says, "Hey, just add me on Skype for real quick," I'm like, I don't know, dude. Like, I'd rather can we meet in a bar or something? You
know? Nah, I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about that because you know. I have been pretty honest with all these hackers. I'm like, look, man, if you hack me or do anything to me, all right, the next time you hack someone, all right, and you want credit for it, I'm going to give the credit to the other group. I'm going to purposely go out of my way, report that story wrong, and say that someone else did it and that you didn't do it, right? And I know that's kind of fucked up to do, but this is what I've said to pretty much all of them, so that no one crosses me, no one really goes after me.
How do you are you ever worried? Because I know this is an ethical question I've asked myself. You know, they do it for attention,
right?
And reporters, you know, are the guys that give them attention. So should we report on it? And I've worked at tech sections, and we have this debate. The answer always is yes, we should. But I mean, a lot of people criticize. I've been criticized for it. You know, I did Lizard Squad stuff. I think we covered the Sony leaks as well. Me and another journalist called William Turton, when we worked together, we did the Sony leaks. And people said to us, you know, why are you giving these guys attention? They're violating people's privacy. You're giving them a platform.
People complain about that every time I do a story on hackers. They do. But to those people, I would say, I'm going to tell you two different stories. Here's the first story. Xbox got hacked today. End of story. Here's the second story. Xbox got hacked by a group named Lizard Squad. Lizard Squad is claiming that they're going to take down this network. Kim.com. You know what I mean? When you bring the names in and you take this little bit of information and it becomes a story, a well-told story, it's much more entertaining. And, you know, I'm not just a news guy. I'm an entertainer. So why leave who is hacking out of the story? That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So look, let's do it. Let's talk about this YouTube AgeGate thing. We touched upon it right at the top of the show. I think you might be on something. This could be big. I don't know if you're right. It's obviously just a rumor at this stage. Very hard without having a YouTube employee kind of flip, go rogue and give us the facts. It's going to be incredibly hard to verify. And there's already a few things that make the original rumor not sound true. But just to summarize, and again, jump in and correct me if I'm wrong here. Basically, there is a bug. I've seen it. It happens on my channel, and I don't even have 100,000 subs yet, I will add. I've seen it. When the day we put a video out, those are our biggest dips. When in reality, it should be our biggest gain. Right? Then that's crazy to me. And I have people message me every day saying, I've been unsubbed from your channel. You know, I've been unsubbed 5-6 times. Right? And this YouTube employee at a party at PAX said there is a program that they're running, an experimental piece of software that goes through and checks if the person is age appropriate for that YouTube channel, and if they aren't, it secretly, stealthily unsubscribes them. Is that a fair summary of the news?
Yeah, not all at once. It does it a percentage of it apparently, like every day. So I get this bit of information, and it was the first time that like made sense to me, because like we're all trying to figure this out. Like why have my views gone down? Because it was like a flip of a switch last fall. Everybody's views got like went way down.
And YouTube deny it still.
Yeah.
YouTube have officially denied that anyone is getting unsubbed. What is this mass fucking hallucination then?
Right. They came out and publicly said, we are not unsubscribing channels. So, you know, I mean, this is a thing that I think about daily. Mm. Like, you know, this is part of the being a YouTuber is you're at war, man. You got to figure this out. Like, your channel's dying. So when I heard this, it made sense. It made sense to me. And I didn't want to run the story. I wanted to investigate. I wanted to look more into it. But what do I do? Like, I don't even know where to begin to, like, what am I going to do? Ask YouTube? They're just going to say, no, this doesn't exist. We're not unsubbing channels. So I asked the community for help. I said, look, here's the rumor. I need help. Like, what do you guys know about this? Mm-hmm. And the result of it was, a YouTuber came out. His name is Garrett, and another one called Team Empathy. These are pretty large YouTubers. I think they both have over 1 million subs. They went to a event at YouTube headquarters in London, and when they went there, they thought it would be funny to like bring up their channels on all the YouTube and all the computers that were there. They couldn't find their channels. They start searching for, you know, Quobocop, can't find his channel. They start searching for PewDiePie. It's not showing up anywhere.
Yeah.
So he responded and he goes, man, if they are really testing out a program like this, they might have had that program running at the offices. Then one of those YouTubers that was actually at the event had an email conversation with a YouTube employee. And in that conversation, the YouTube employee confirmed that they are going through and raiding channels. And in that email conversation, which is up, it's YouTube Gate, Age Gate Part 2. In the email conversation, he says, keep this confidential. And it's just like, why is this one YouTuber being told this and getting this information and not everybody? That's another part of it that I don't understand. Like, why tell one YouTuber and not everyone so we all have a fair chance at this? But in that email conversation, he says that they're raiding channels. And, you know, if you're not in that age group, you're like, you know, you're not going to get views. You're not going to be in recommended. That video is not going to be shared, you know, publicly. So there's proof of that. What there's not proof of is there's not proof of people being unsubbed. We still don't know why people are being unsubbed. So the first part of the rumor, I think, is true.
Yeah, I mean, there's a very real possibility. There's a few things that stand out in my mind that I don't understand how these could have happened. Like, for example, do you remember when PewDiePie said he got unsubscribed from H3H3?
Right.
So why would that happen?
I have no idea. But I do know this. I think there's multiple reasons why people are losing subs. One of these issues is this. If you're subbed to a channel and you're watching a video, it says, you know, the subscribe button says subscribe, even though you're already subscribed. If you click at it, now this is the screen when you're actually looking at a video. If you click that, it causes you to be unsubscribed from it. So this is a glitch that they've known about for a while that they still haven't fixed. So people are seeing this, oh my God, I'm unsubbed. How am I unsubbed? They're going to resub, and then it's actually causing them to be unsubbed. Right. So that's one issue. And I've heard of a few other issues, but I can't think of them right now. But I think it's a combination of many things, you know? I think when they change the algorithm, you know, apparently there's like, you know, thousands of thousands of code into YouTube. I would imagine it'd be so much. At some point, you got to think, like, it's so complicated, something's going to break, right?
Yeah, but it's the thing. I don't think this is a mistake. I can't share that confidence. I've watched YouTube become incredibly politicized. And if you look at what's happening around you with other social media platforms, you know, Twitter. Yeah, right. It's very hard to think that YouTube wouldn't follow suit, or at least be pressured into following suit. You know, you've got Facebook, you've got Zuckerberg saying to world leaders, yes, I will take down anything you tell me is fake news. Yes, I will remove stuff that criticizes your immigration policy, like you did to Merkel in Germany. This is a worrying time, and I see, you know, with the advent of YouTube heroes and all this other stuff, I cannot believe this is an accident, because I don't see any, like, I don't see Lacey Green talking about how her subs are going down when she puts out another fucking dull video about how Trump's gonna kill us all or whatever the fuck she's talking about this week. I don't see that. But I do see you, I do, you know, myself, we do political videos. They seem to be the ones that get the most hit. H3H3, ever since they went kind of down a more political road and started doing more social commentary than just reaction videos, it started happening to them. It does feel targeted. The same with the demonetization stuff that's been going on, you know?
It doesn't make sense, because I feel like, you know, some channels are just in it, some channels are being affected and others just aren't. Like, for example, there's this YouTuber known as KYR Speedy, very popular YouTuber. This guy would upload videos, get like a million views a video, right? I'm gonna pull it up real quick.
Yeah, go for it, brother.
Speedy. I was just looking at this yesterday. Very, very popular YouTuber. He gets tons of views on his videos. And I was just looking at his channel, and he's getting, like, you know, a video that he uploaded today only has 34,000. A video he uploaded yesterday only has 200,000. Like, his views are way down. So I go and look at his Social Blade, right? He's losing subscribers every day. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Has he changed the type of content that he's doing?
He is making the same exact content. He makes content like, do you know who Vanoss Gaming is?
Sam probably will.
Okay, so Vanoss Gaming is one of the most, you know, popular YouTubers in this genre of videos. Right. And, you know, him, KYR Speedy, and Vanoss, they were, like, on par, equal. And now Speedy's dying, and Vanoss is still getting 50 million views a month, and every video is getting, like, 2 or 3 million views. So it just – it doesn't make sense. I feel like this is being applied to certain channels – and not others.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right there. I mean, it kind of fucks my theory if it's not political. Maybe, you know, like, they did talk a lot about when YouTube Heroes came in, they were going to have people, like, flagging channels. I wonder if there is a button where it's like, once you're targeted, once you're flagged, for whatever reason, you know, you are an undesirable channel, they look to just stifle your growth. Because, you know, when I looked at my numbers, it was like for every like 9,000 subs we got, 4,000 would unsubscribe. So, and I'm not saying everybody's getting, some people probably just think my content shit, don't like me, don't like my political opinions, whatever it is, or get bored. That's fine. But I can't believe that almost like half of the people that were earning in subs, that's being offset by that amount of unsubs. It makes no sense to me. I don't think that's how it works. Meanwhile, I've seen channels that do fairly frivolous content just blow up, just explode. Just, you know, it's just out of the stratosphere.
What's weird is you find channels that are exactly the same, not exactly the same, but very, very similar, and one's taking off and one's dying, and it makes no sense. Like, it's very, very similar content. You would think that these extreme difference between taking off and dying would be closer together, you know, and they're just not. And I don't know, like Dromalert, for example, we've gained 65,000 new subscribers over the last 30 days, but 16,000 people unsubbed in that same period. I mean, 16,000 people, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, how do 16,000 people just wake up and think, you know what, I don't like you anymore?
Yeah, 16,000 people are not just, you know, over the last of a course of 30 days saying, that's 500 people a day. You know, 500 people a day are not just saying, you know what, fuck this. Like, I'm unsubbing. Like, I've never unsubbed from a channel that I've subbed. Actually, I have in a few occasions. But for the most part, if you think about this, especially the people watching, when do you unsub the channels? You just don't. Like, if you sub to a channel, you usually stay sub to them. So how is it that everyone seems to be complaining about losing unsubs? Did the audience as a whole just decide, you know what, I got to clean out my sub box today?
Yeah, you know, 500 people a day doing that.
At a predictable rate.
It makes no sense. So here's the thing, though. If we can't figure out why it's happening, but everybody agrees that it is happening, and YouTube are the only people denying that it's happening. Everybody else, by any quantifiable metric, it's very real. Why haven't all the YouTubers, the big YouTubers, and by big, I mean anyone with a million or more subscribers, so you would count, why haven't they decided to come together for something good for a change, and instead of bitching at each other and making fucking exposed videos or whatever? Right. Why don't they all, shoulder to shoulder, say to YouTube, sure, this is our bread and butter, but we could live with, we could do 30 days, no videos. And we're not going to go in the poor house. We're not going to suddenly starve. We're going to still be able to make our mortgage payments. Why don't you guys say, until you get to the bottom of this fucking problem, we are not going to put any content on your website? That would work, right? Wouldn't that light a fire under them?
The reason why that won't work is because YouTube is a dog eat dog world, you know, like everybody is out to make it, right? So if we take a full month off, all right, someone else will just jump in and take your spot. Someone else will just jump in and take your place. So I don't think, you know, protesting that way would work. What I do think is we could potentially protest for one day. One day, everybody just uploads a video with the hashtag, you know, hashtag YouTube AgeGate or whatever it is, to protest one day. We could pick a day, maybe a month from now, and all get on the same page. Look, on this day, we're not going to upload videos. We're going to upload, you know, this protest video to try to make the news, like make the actual mainstream news to get YouTube to do something about this. I think that would work. But as far as coming together to try to figure this out, it's happening now. I'm actually seeing that with the videos that I made. I asked the community to research and to come up with stuff, and that's actually what's happening. I'm getting contacted by multiple different YouTubers throughout the day, being tweeted at. You know, I see it, people actually working together, trying to put the puzzles together to figure this thing out. And you're right, that's exactly what is needed.
And we talked about this just before we went live and started recording the show, but you know, there's got to be something going on with YouTube. There was this tweet, Sam, I'll let you bring this up, but this was the one I showed you about, you know, Dave Rubin of the Rubin Report. He actually tweeted out saying, YouTube, why are you restricting my interview with Colin Moriarty, No Taxation? You know, and you can see there's a screenshot. This video is unavailable with restricted mode enabled. To view this video, you will need to disable restricted mode. And then it happened to other interviews as well, the Sky Williams one, etc. Right. And what restricted mode means is, you know, if you're at a library or a school or something like that, people can't access it. It's forbidden. Why's that happened? What's so crazy about, you know, Dave Rubin that this sort of censorship has to occur? And I do think YouTube are experimenting. I think they're trying to find a way to placate the political aspect of it, which is people are crying about, there's all this bad content on YouTube and we've got to shut it down.
I just got a tip right before I came on to do this interview. Right. And I'm gonna talk about it. This is the first time I've talked about it. Because right, cool. It might not be anything, but it might be something. But a guy contacted me, and he was he's a software engineer, and he was doing some work for Google, and he was basically trying to build some type of restriction mode on Google and possibly YouTube to make it suitable for China, because they're trying to get into the China market, apparently, and the restrictions that the government has is unbelievable, like what you're allowed to watch. And he said that this might have something to do, or it might not, with that and YouTube and Google focusing on that, is moving into these markets that have strict internet rules like China. So I don't know, maybe that's the piece of the puzzle that we need, or that might not be anything, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's fucking terrifying, dude. I mean, that's not a YouTube I, you know, would want to be part of. Like, you know, the great thing about YouTube.
I couldn't ever see. I'm sorry to cut you
off.
No,
go for it.
I can't see that being applied to North America or to Europe, right? Mm. You know, the same way it would be applied to China. But what if they're working on this system? This is basically what he was saying. What if they're working on this system to go into China and they're testing it out across the board? Right. And which is affecting people. So
yeah, but I mean, you know, not only that though, you've got to think about the, you know, the, look, there's stages, right? There's degrees. Like we all know, China is very fucking totalitarian when it comes to internet access, what you can and can't see, what websites you can access. That's the nature of China. But certainly, I think, you know, as I said, we're getting to a stage now where social media sites are under tremendous pressure from like professional concerned trolls pretending that they're experts, like, or, you know, or politicians to suppress what you have access to. You know, I don't know if you remember the former CEO of Reddit. She's now running, like, she's got her own company now where basically what she does is she tries to make the internet a better place and raise awareness and promote female CEOs, feminist empowerment. Well, she wrote an article saying that Twitter should ban Donald Trump, the president of the United States, right, from Twitter. You know, that is the president. If you can censor the president of the United States on your platform, no one is safe. You can censor absolutely anybody, and it's a very dangerous road to go down. And it does make me wonder if YouTube are kind of like, well, we're developing this over here, and it's going to be great for the Chinese government because they can crank it up to 10, but we might only have to crank it up to 3, and all the YouTube heroes and other little social justice types, right, they're going to get what they want. And, you know, eventually people who have, you know, the kind of more dissenting voices, if you like, are going to be pushed into the margins, you know?
I think that, like, the U.S. Constitution should be applied to the internet. You have the freedom of speech, right? We have the freedom of speech. We have the freedom to say whatever we want. We have the freedom to express our political views. And we get that speech from our voice box, right, to talk to others in real life. In this digital world, our voice box is Twitter. Our voice box is YouTube. You know, for someone to take that away, I mean, they're taking away your freedom of speech. That's all there is to it. So I feel like if you have a social media platform, it shouldn't be described as, oh, this is a private business, we could do whatever we want. If you're opening it up to the public, the same rules should apply and you should have free speech, period.
And therein lies the problem. I mean, you already preempted the next point I was going to make. Well, unfortunately, if you run a private business, you've also got constitutional protections that you don't have to allow anybody that you don't want to on that business. It's yours. You know, you run it as you see fit. So,
but the forefathers couldn't foresee a digital world, you know, right. So I think that, you know, this needs to be applied. Like, I think there should be a law that says, Twitter, you need to let people say whatever they want as long as they are not infringing on other people's rights, just like freedom of speech, as long as they're not harassing, as long as they're not, you know, whatever the case may be, as long as they're not infringing on other people's rights, you should be able to say whatever you want.
So, look, I don't know if we're ever going to get to the bottom of it. What would you do if, let's say, for example, YouTube did wake up one day and said, you know what, like, well, fuck it, we're going to censor Keem. We don't want Keem on the platform anymore. No more drama alert. It's toxic. We don't want it. What would happen? I mean, what do you do without YouTube?
Well, first, I think I would just make another channel and then make another channel. And as they're getting dry, I would do that route because I've been through that route, right? In 2014, there was like 4 drum alert channels that hit 100,000 subs, you know, before they got shut down. So I've been through that route. I'd probably fight to stay on the platform. But if I couldn't be on the platform at all and it was completely shut down, I think I would probably move to Facebook or some other platform to do it. It's this weird thing that drama alert, it's been kind of a trap for me, right? There's so many times where I want to quit, you know. There's so many times where, man, I'm not into this anymore. I'm not into these stories, and I've kind of lost my passion for this. But as people are subscribing, as you're building a fan base, you get this immense responsibility to do the work that they've supported you to do. You know, so I don't think I'd quit. I don't think I'd quit. At my worst times, when I really wanted to quit and I was really done and wanted to leave the internet, there was always this voice in the back of the head saying, you know, go back out there. You've done this before. You've done, you've had to rebuild before. Build it huge and get revenge on these motherfuckers. So, yeah. So I don't know. I'd find some way to continue the show on some platform.
I mean, you can recognize that we do need, I think, a rival to YouTube. I think there has to be an alternative that can do what YouTube does. And then at least you've got a secondary option. I think that's the terrifying thing. You know, there isn't really an alternative.
We don't find that on the internet, you know, like who's the competitor to Amazon? Like there just isn't one. Who's the competitor to YouTube? There isn't one. Who's the competitor to Twitch? There really isn't one. And I think that's really strange because you find that in business everywhere except for on the internet. There's just on the internet, there's just one stop shops, you know?
Mm. So look, you talked there about the dark times. So let's talk about them, Keen. Let's try and portray you as a three-dimensional human being and not an evil vaudevillian villain. So let's do it. I'm guessing there have been dark times. Obviously, we've talked already about how horrified you were with what happened to the 62-year-old guy and how you consider it a wound that you know you'll never heal from. But what about the other times? What's the lowest point for Keemstar, and what does it look like?
When my channel got shut down back in 2014 for I think it was like the third or fourth time and it you know at this point you know Freedom came in and like we had a system where I didn't own the channel but I was just being on the channel and I thought my channel was safe finally I got it up to I think 250,000 subs and then that channel got taken down that was probably the darkest point. You know, I just kind of burst in tears. Like I obviously wasn't going to quit, but like, why do I have to start over again? You know, I think those are the darkest times. Those are the sad times, you know, when it completely got destroyed. But the good thing is about all these dark times, you know, the thing that happened with, the old guy, my channel's being shut down is, you know, it made me a better person, you know, and when I got attacked by all these people with all these Keemstar exposed videos, it made my show better. It made me really, really focus on making the best content I could make. So I enjoy, I go back and think about the dark times and I appreciate them. And I think a lot of us do that, right? We look back to what our biggest challenges were, what our biggest tests were, our lowest point. And I think we all as humans, we learn something from those experiences and it benefits us in the future.
You ever come close to quitting?
Yeah, during the Keemstar Exposed stuff, yeah. But again, like I said, there was always this voice in the back of my head, just you gotta get back there. You gotta win. Mm.
So what have you learned? You said you've learned a lesson. It's going to make you a better person. Tell me what you've learned. Tell me what is different about Keemstar here in 2017 than the guy that was getting exposed, getting hit, the guy that, you know, had made some mistakes, the guy that had said some tasteless things. Because, you know, I follow you on Twitter. I love your Twitter. It doesn't look a whole lot different. So tell me what you've learned.
I've learned, I would say when you're wrong, when you're just wrong, all right, admit that you're wrong. Like don't waste time arguing and fighting. Just admit that you're wrong. And when you're right, just never stop fighting. Never stop fighting. You're right. If you're right, you're right. Never bow down. And as far as entertainment goes, I think I learned that it doesn't matter, you know, who has these negative opinions on you or, you know, it doesn't matter if everybody in the world seems to hate you. At the end of the day, if you make entertaining content, if you put out really good stuff that you know, it's entertaining to watch and that you put a lot of work into it, you're going to have fans. You're going to have an audience no matter what. And I think that that's really what I learned.
Okay. So look, we'll wrap up there because I know you're a busy guy. The life of a newsman is quite something. So let's just talk about, you know, what's next for you. Obviously, you talked at the top of the show about how you're going to be doing this Rust thing. But, you know, what's next for Drama Alert, the Drama Alert brand, Keemstar? You know, what are you going to be focusing on here as we move into 2017?
Well, I never really know what's next for Drumler. You know, it's always a surprise every day. What I want to do is I want to bring in more anchors and kind of move towards a more professional show. But it seems like every time I bring new people on, there's a lot of hate for that, right? Mm-hmm. So I do want to move the show into a more professional role, but not lose the entertainment factor. Mm. I'm sorry, I'm having brain farts. What was the full question?
So just what you're going to be doing next? What's going to be your focus?
My focus right now is probably on this YouTube gate stuff. Like I think like this is the biggest story, and we're definitely going to need to get more answers on it. The Rust Esports thing, man, I'm so excited for this. This is like my passion. Like I've wanted this for such a long time. You know, I played Rust when it first came out, and it was still in the browser before it even went to Steam. And I've been playing it for years. So I'm like, man, there's got to be an esport here. Because Call of Duty, I really came from the Call of Duty community. That's dead. The whole thing's dead. You know, apparently the esports players are making a bunch of money, but I don't know who's watching. I don't think anyone watches that anymore, right? So,
you should come into Counter-Strike. We're doing well.
I hear that, but I've played Counter-Strike and I can't get into it. There's something about it. I don't like it.
It's guns. You know, it's the same shit. It's just harder.
I just realized that there's probably a viewer right now that said, you know what? I was kind of leaning towards Keemstar's side until that last statement.
No. Seriously, you should definitely try and get into it, though. There's plenty of drama, millions of viewers. We're a big thing right now.
There's a lot of money to make in casinos.
Yeah, it's not all about gambling. And here's the other thing as well. Definitely hit me up for that Rust thing. I'll promote that. I'll get that out there and maybe do awesome. A report or a video on it. And look, just the final thing. There'll be people watching this who don't like you, okay? What would you say to somebody who, in their mind, they think you're subhuman trash? You know, they want you to be deplatformed. They want you to be in prison. You know, what would you say to those people to maybe make them think differently?
You're very important. You know, part of my success is having the people that hate my guts and tried to ruin me and the people that love me and would do anything to defend me. That conversation right there has made my brand very, very successful.
All right. Well, there you have it. That's Keemstar. Definitely, if you haven't already, go out to Drama Alert and certainly subscribe to him. I'm sure YouTube will be shaving a few subscribers off today. So perhaps you can make up the deficit. I've been wanting to do this for a long time, man. Always great, you know, when we have our conversations. Glad we got to put one out there publicly. And to everybody, that was the Richard Lewis Show, episode 51. I'm sure we're going to have more guests coming up in the future. So make sure you stick watching this channel. And of course, if you're new, if you've come to see Keemstar and you liked what you saw, go check out some of my other videos, subscribe, all of that good stuff, you know, if YouTube will let you. And thanks very much for coming in and supporting the work. Anyway, until the next video, all take care. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for having me on.